This passage of Scripture is actually a continuation of what we've been preaching on for several weeks now out of Acts chapter 3 and 4, which discusses the same incident where Peter and John have healed a lame man at the beautiful gate in the temple. And they have spoken broadly to the people about what God has done and how Christ has been raised again from the dead. And now the leaders of Israel have called them together to account for this in front of them. And so we pick up the story here. Now, as they, the religious leaders, observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in reply. But when they had ordered them to leave the council, they began to confer with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it will not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name." And when they had summoned them and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus, but Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." When they had threatened them further, they let them go, finding no basis on which to punish them on account of the people, because they were all glorifying God for what had happened. For the man was more than 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Recently, I was very pleased that the Wall Street Journal wrote a story in its op-ed section about a man named Jacob DeShazer. Jacob DeShazer faced a decision in his life that was the greatest decision he ever faced, and that was whether or not to be a part of a mission that would surely lead either to death or imprisonment. Everyone felt it was a suicide mission. Five men stepped into a plane, a B-25, that they had affectionately named the Bat Out of Hell, and flew to take the very first bombs to the mainland of Japan in World War II. 66 years ago, almost to the day, they flew. Knowing they would not have enough gas to come back, enough fuel, they hoped that they would simply be able to drop their bombs unharmed and fly on to the mainland of China, possibly to land there. They did drop the first bombs on Nagoya and other places, but they were shot down. He was taken prisoner for 40 months, 34 in solitary confinement, beaten, tortured, forced to watch the execution of his pilot, William Farrell, and his engineer, Harold Spatz. He managed to survive. In 1945, on VJ Day, he was liberated. He came back to the United States and went to school at Seattle Pacific College, took a degree in Bible literature, and 3 years later, he went back as a Christian missionary to the very people who he sought to kill and who sought to kill him. How does a man do that? How does he have the boldness to go back and face people who killed his friends, who bombed Pearl Harbor, and who wanted to kill him, and yet he himself had wanted to kill them? How does he have the boldness to go back and do that? The two men in our story today, two fishermen, we would call them blue-collar, redneck laborers. Peter and John stand before the religious and academic elite of their day, and they stand with no fear. They stand boldly proclaiming Christ, boldly proclaiming the Christ that these men killed, not knowing what would happen. Certainly, they themselves could have been crucified as far as they knew, standing before these men, but they stood there with boldness. The whole concept of boldness, speaking boldly, is a major thought woven throughout all of the book of Acts. These men had heard Jesus himself personally tell them in Acts 1:8, I want you to wait in Jerusalem, because when the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and to Judah and to Samaria and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. And the book of Acts is then laid out in that way. Chapters 1 and 2 speak of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Chapters 3 through 7 speak of their bold witness in Jerusalem. Chapters 8 through 12 speak of their bold witness to Judea and Samaria. And chapters 13 through 28 speak of their bold witness to the rest of the world. Boldness. Where did these men get that boldness? They were not bold because they sucked up the courage to do it. They were not bold because the crisis of the moment gave them an opportunity to show they were Jesus' disciples. They were not bold because they were educationally prepared. No, they were bold because of one thing. They were bold because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, lest you think that being filled with the Holy Spirit is different then than it is today, you need to pay close attention to the Scripture. Because just because these men had seen all of these things didn't mean that the Holy Spirit made them any different than He makes you and I today. And we need to understand very clearly what boldness is. Because God, throughout the book of Acts, paints picture after picture after picture of people who believed that the Holy Spirit was with them and they boldly spoke Christ into the situation that they found themselves in. But the Holy Spirit isn't magic. The Holy Spirit works with us. And what I want you to see as we'll look back at this passage is that there are things that are involved in this passage that enable us to enhance the boldness in our lives for the purpose of the gospel. Let's look again at several passages. First, we will look at the first two verses and then the last two verses. Now, they observed the confidence, the boldness of Peter and John and understood they were uneducated, untrained men, and they were amazed. And they began to recognize them as having been with Jesus, and at seeing the man that had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say. And then come back down in verse 18, and when they had warned them to speak no longer to any man in this name, they summoned them, commanded them not to speak or teach the name of Jesus. But Peter and John said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. In those statements alone, I want you to notice four things there and also in subsequent statements in the previous part of this story. But there are four things we see that help us to grasp why they were so bold. The Jewish leaders, it said, who had observed them well, saw that they were filled with confidence or boldness. And yet these men had no reason to be that bold, as they reasoned in their minds, because they were uneducated, untrained men. Now, what did they mean by that? What they meant by that is that they were uneducated, untrained in rabbinical ways. And so therefore, how could these men be saying so confidently these spiritual things and causing godly type things to happen when they hadn't been trained like we had been trained, is what they're thinking. They marveled at this until they began to put two and two together. They connected the dots. These men, and here's the first point, they realize had been with Jesus. And that is the first thing that the passage helps us see. Why the Holy Spirit's power is enhanced And how it enhances boldness in us is when we spend time with Jesus. What helped them particularly come to this conclusion, Luke makes a very specific point of saying something here, because he adds, if you'll notice, the sentence doesn't stop. It says, they looked at them and marveled, and they also looked at the man who was standing there that they had healed. And the word that Luke uses for standing is the very same word that he uses to translate as resurrected. It's the word anastasis. It's the same word. In the Greek mind, a person who was dead was laying out with no life. A person who was resurrected was standing up and had life. And here, Peter and John come back and say, it is by the power of the resurrected, now standing Christ that you see this man standing, using the same word, resurrected in front of you, so to speak. And then they couldn't miss it at that point, because they realized they had seen Christ do the very same thing. He too had healed a lame man. They were speechless, and they realized these men had been with Jesus. That's why they were bold, because they had been with Christ. It says, after they commanded them not to speak in the name of Jesus. And isn't that silly to think a name could do what it did? But they commanded them not to speak. And Peter and John said, you know, whether it is right in the sight of God or in your sight, whether we should speak the name of Christ, that's totally up to you. But we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. And that's the second point that he's making here in this passage. You see, the Holy Spirit's power is enhanced when we take a good look at what Jesus does and what he says. These men were not bold because they had simply just walked around with Jesus, the person. No, they were bold also because they had what they had seen Jesus do, what they had heard him say. They had seen Jesus heal a lame man. They had seen him heal a blind man. They had seen him heal a hemorrhaging woman. They had seen him raise a child from the dead. They had heard him speak with compassion to the hurting. They had heard him speak with forgiveness to those who had wronged him. They had heard him speak truth to hypocrites. They had heard him speak boldly to injustice. And they say, how can we stop talking about this after what we have seen and heard for the last 3 years, much less the last 3 weeks? Thirdly, they spoke boldly, the text says, because they believed the Holy Spirit would work, as seen in this miracle and especially laid out in the following verses we'll look at next week. They trusted the power of the Holy Spirit, and that made them bold. Lastly, they spoke boldly because they were commanded to speak boldly. They watched the very Lord who had died for their sins come back from the grave and say, go to all nations and make disciples and teach them, tell them all the things that I have taught you. Go boldly. Now, most of us, if you're anything like me, we don't feel that kind of boldness, do we? What is it that stops us? For many of us, it's the fear of man. We're somewhat like H.G. Wells, who made the comment, the trouble with so many people is that the voice of their neighbor sounds louder in their ears than the voice of God. Or as the man who said, speaking a tribute to John Knox, and he said, Knox fears God so much that he never feared the face of man. The fear of man, it stops us from being bold. But you know what? It didn't stop these disciples. And they were ones who it should have stopped, because they stand in front of the very people who had crucified Christ and could kill them as far as they knew. But you know what? That really isn't the direction we should go. I don't know about you, that if I start going that direction, I can live under a pile of guilt for a long time, really. You know, the question we should be asking is not what stops us, but what starts us. And that's what this passage is actually focusing on. You see, rather than focus on fear, it is focusing on faith. getting face to face with Christ. That's why the Gospels are full of stories, real stories. Let the Holy Spirit paint a crystal clear picture of Christ in your mind, saying, "Fear not, for I am with you." Let Him paint broad strokes of Christ, saying, "Go in the power of the Spirit. I have sent the Holy Spirit to fill you, to empower you. Now boldly be my witnesses everywhere." You see, these men were not bold for Christ before they had been with Him. They were not bold until they had seen what Christ did. They were not bold until they believed the promise Holy Spirit had come. And now they knew He had come. And so they trusted Him to do something in and through them. They were not bold until they stepped out and obeyed the command simply to go and preach in the name of Christ. Now, obedience and boldness is important, but it only comes when the first two are in place, that Christ is a real person to us, that I can say, "Lord Christ, I trust You. I believe that You have forgiven my sins. I believe You by faith that You have given the Holy Spirit to lead me and to guide me and to be in me and to be my power and to enable me to witness. I believe that." Now, you might be thinking, "Pete, that sounds great, but how do I really live that? I mean, is that possible?" We know we need boldness. But boldness in the Spirit, let's talk about boldness in a minute. What is boldness? Boldness in the Spirit is not rudeness. Boldness in the Spirit is not being disrespectful to people. Boldness in the Spirit is not wearing some placard around saying "turn or burn." But boldness is not those things. You see, when you look to the Scriptures and you spend time with Christ, what you find is this: boldness is joy explained. Did you get that? Boldness is joy explained. And it's joy explained in the opportunity that is at hand. You see, when you spend time, as I said, with Christ using the Scriptures, you realize He never went out to be bold. He never went out to perform a miracle. He didn't say to the disciples, "Hey, let's go find somebody to heal." He never went out and said, "Let's go find some Pharisees we can blast." He didn't do that. Rather, what did He do? He performed miracles only when the situation required it. He was bold when the opportunity presented itself, but He was always bold with the truth. You see, Christ can do miracles. I can't do miracles, but I can be bold in His power, because He promised it. You see, if you're delighting in Christ daily, the joy that you have in you will want to be shared with somebody. The Holy Spirit will provide you with opportunities to explain your joy. See, it's like Peter and John. They said, we can't stop talking about this one that we have seen and been with. We can't stop talking about how much we loved Him. We saw Him. We touched Him. We slept with Him out in the open and ate with Him and had fun with Him and watched Him do amazing things, and we heard Him speak. He was real to us. We can't not do that, and He's still blessing us. Jacob de Schazer, whom we spoke of earlier, could be so bold to go back to Japan because now, you see, he had seen Jesus, and he believed that the Holy Spirit would give him power to go and share with these people whom he had hated and who had hated him. And he went in faith, and he trusted the Holy Spirit, and we're told this marvelous story that the Lord gave him the privilege to lead a man in Japan by the name of Fushija to Christ. And Fushija was the man who led the raid over Pearl Harbor and said, "Torah, Torah." Here is the man that had gone over Japan to bomb Japan
And God sends him back and gives him the opportunity to lead the man who had gone over Pearl Harbor and bombed us. That, my friends, is boldness. That is boldness. See, when you see Christ like that, in all of his beauty, and you read his words, and his words then become words to you, and they become real to you, and you realize the magnitude of your sin and what he has done for you in forgiveness, the intended response is joy. You see, that's the primary emotion of the new covenant, is joy, because of what Christ does for us and in us, and daily how he answers prayers for us. We need boldness, and Christ and the Holy Spirit have made it possible for us to have boldness. It isn't in us, it's in them, and they are in us. Let me give you one last example that simply came to me a few days ago. An artist writes and said, "Dear Pete, the book from the presentation last year from the art festival, the 23rd Psalm," she said, "was it such a great idea. I had the opportunity to help an Iranian friend who is currently sick. She's a fine artist and a psychotherapist, and she uses her art therapy to help troubled children, and she's writing her dissertation on it. I thought you might enjoy knowing that I tucked the art festival book in with other goodies that I brought her, and I know she will examine it. Even though she was raised in a different faith, she was schooled in England. She is open to these things. Please pray for her as you remember her, that the eyes of her understanding may be opened through that book or whatever else God leads his people to give her or speak to her. And she has a brother that, please pray for him. We have prayed for him intermittently over the years, and just last week we had the chance to speak briefly, and I might say boldly, about an aspect of the gospel to him on that occasion at a funeral. He's attended church with us some. Maybe now it is time that God will move strongly to bring this precious brother and sister to himself. I pray for countless other ways for the Lord to use the art book. Looking forward to the next art festival." Boldness. My friends, does God answer prayer for you? And aren't you excited? Aren't you filled with joy when you see him bless your friends, your neighbors, your family? There's joy that wells up within us. That is why God said, "Rejoice. For this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice in this day." And then ask the Holy Spirit to give you opportunities to be bold simply to explain your joy. Great God, we stand before you now, standing resurrected in the power of Christ. Oh, Lord, help us to be bold by your boldness, not because we feel it. And we sing now to you and praise you, Father, that you would help us to stand in that strength. Amen.